the harvest. And that, of course, being very important. Now, I'm going to talk to you about being unfruitful. That seems to be a total opposite. But unfruitful occurs in the scripture too. And that's what I want to turn our attention to tonight. Now remember, the Lord told the parable about the sower. The sower went forth to sow. And he told it in a story form, and they're trying to figure out what he's talking about because they're very familiar with the sower. Everybody could picture in their mind and perhaps even their own activities of the sowing, whether they were a farmer or tending a garden or someone living in the city and depended on the produce that was brought in. They knew the process. They knew the kind of ground. And but yet they had to ask, what do you mean? And the seed is the word, he said. And so he went on from there. But the thorny ground as depicted in Mark 4. And we know there's four types of ground, and thorny is one of them. But the cares of the world, there's a lot of them, and they seem like they're getting worse. The deceitfulness of riches, ooh, that's an important one to consider. A lot of people are putting their trust in wealth and material things, but that's deceitful because it's not going to last. And the lusts of other things, and notice, entering in, I'm in Mark 4:19, other things entering in. I thought about that, entering in. See, all the water in the world can't sink a ship until it gets in. The water gets in the ship, then you're in trouble. If the pumps are not able to keep up with the inflow, the ship is going to flounder and sink. So we've got to make sure that these lusts of other things, now and that can be lusts in a carnal sense, a sexual sense, or it can be just the aspect of desire for and appetites for things that are not right. And so we're careful of that. And look what happens. The word is choked. And then the last phrase, it becometh unfruitful. Now that's the problem. That's what we want to avoid. Now, the negative aspect of fruitfulness here is what we want to consider in our title of unfruitful, the negative fruitfulness. Because I'm experiencing a negative abundance at my house. Yellow jackets. There, you know, the dictionary or encyclopedia rather says they're good because they help with pollination. Well, that's nice, but they bite too, or sting, and I don't like them. I've declared war on them. You know that zapper thing? I've just about got tennis elbow, and my wrist hurts sometimes from swinging that thing around. Mosquitoes. The dry summer, that has helped in the mosquito population. It doesn't seem to be as bad, at least around our house, not as bad as usual. Spruce bark beetles. How many trees, Brother Merle? 15 trees over here in this property that are dead because of spruce bark beetles. 6 on my property. 100-year-old trees dead because of the spruce bark beetle. There's a negative fruitfulness, a negative abundance that I don't like. One good thing about the dry conditions, again, is dandelions aren't as plentiful as usual, but they're still plentiful. And, you know, we can name other weeds, chickweed, my wife said, mare's tail, whatever those things are, my goodness, they, you know, whether they're watered or not, they come sprouting up, aggravating. The lakes, the fish and game are going to great measures to eliminate a weed that is an invader of our lakes. What is it called? Elodia? Is that how you say it? And so they're doing extreme things to try to get that weed out of our lakes because evidently it will cause a great deal of trouble. So an unfruitfulness could mean a lack of fruit. It could also mean the wrong kind of fruit. And so that's what we want to look at here. Now, in the thorny ground, the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things, cause it to become unfruitful. You contrast that with fruitfulness. And the fruitfulness described in that parable goes from 30 to 60 to 100. Wow. That is incredibly fruitful. Amen. And it brings to mind the saying, you probably heard it, you can count the seeds in an apple, but who can count the apples in a seed? That seed sprouts, the tree grows, it has blossoms, and pretty soon there are apples all over the place. And it does that season after season after season. Pretty amazing. An ear of corn, a watermelon that has seeds, that is. And wow, there's just an amazing amount. You know, I noticed, though, that the common ground for all types of soil is they heard the word. That's the common aspect there. They heard the word. And you and I have that opportunity to hear the word. And Lord, help us to be the good ground. Luke makes a contrast in chapter 8, 14 and 15, between the thorny ground and the good ground. In verse 14, it ends, there's no fruit to perfection. Verse 15 ends with the good ground producing fruit with patience. No fruit to perfection versus fruit with patience. So that aspect is what the Lord is looking for in terms of fruit with patience, not the absence of fruit and the problems that come with it. Thank God for fellowship. Fellowship is a mark of an apostolic church. You go to Acts 2 and 42 and recognize there are four aspects, five actually, but four that I'm going to focus on and then link them together with the first. They continued in the apostolic doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, in prayer. They're all tied together, however, with the continued steadfastly. They didn't let up. They didn't goof off. They didn't feel like, oh, well, not necessary this week, not necessary this month. Yeah. It's not a holiday, so I don't need to go. No, they continued steadfastly in all four, and thank God for the fellowship. But look what Ephesians 5:11 says. Have no fellowship. No fellowship, and it becomes specific, with the unfruitful works of darkness. No fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Amen. Now, unfruitful works is kind of a paradox. It's not fruitful in the right things, in the right way. But believe me, the works of darkness produce fruit. A terrible harvest. And it reminded me of Paul writing in Galatians 6:7, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Whether it's fruit of darkness or fruit of the Spirit, there's going to be a reaping. And the works of darkness produce sin. And the harvest is heartache. There's suffering, there's sorrow, there's shame. There's all of those, that's the works of darkness. And the Lord wants us to stay away from those aspects. Have no fellowship with that. Don't stick around those kinds of works, those kinds of activities. Amen. The Living Bible says, "Take no part in the worthless pleasures of evil and darkness." No part. Don't hang around. Don't click on the wrong site. Don't turn the wrong page. Don't pick up the wrong book or magazine. Amen. No part in the worthless pleasures of evil and darkness. Amen. And Paul makes a very strong case here in Ephesians 5. I noticed several contrasts in Ephesians 5. There's the children of disobedience and the children of light. There's light and darkness. There's awake and asleep. There's drunk with wine or filled with the Spirit. Those contrasts are there. And Paul obviously is saying, no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. No. Amen. And he continues this aspect of contrast in a real strong way in 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6, he raises the issue of righteousness with unrighteousness, light with darkness, Christ with Belial, the believer and an infidel, the temple of God and idols. He's holding them up as, okay, here's a big difference. And then he uses words of relationship. He says, fellowship, communion, concord, part, and agreement. Those are words of relationship. And so he puts them together and says, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? What part does a believer have with an infidel? What agreement between the temple of God and idols? And he's helping us to underscore, don't enter into a relationship in that way. But instead, remember the three I wills that God makes at the end of that chapter. I will dwell in them. I will walk in them. Praise God. Relationship. I will be their God. They will be my people. Relationship. I will be your father. You will be my sons and daughters. Wow, what a call. What an opportunity. What fellowship. Praise God. And that's what we've got to focus on. That's why the scripture is admonishing that no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Don't stay there. Don't be a part of it. Amen. And the necessity of avoiding being unfruitful, because I'll show you an end here as we get to the final part of the lesson. Look at Titus 3 and 14. Paul's instruction to maintain good works. Maintain. Keep it up. Keep going. Let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. You know, the double negative, I thought was a literary device at first, but when I looked it up, it said that there are certain languages that are, it's common to use a double negative, be not unfruitful. You know, that means be fruitful. When they say it that way then, be fruitful. Well, in the Hebrew and the Greek, it's common to use a double negative. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. What? Look at Hebrews 4 and 15. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched. You know, a surface reading there almost makes it look like we don't have a high priest, and if we did, he wouldn't be touched with our feelings of infirmity. But the double negative says we do have a high priest who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. That's a cultural thing. That's a way the Hebrew and the Greek language was worked, so that the those who were reading this in the first century would, oh, okay. And here in our Western mind, we wonder why they talk like that, when a whole lot better just to say, you know, what you're wanting to say without a double negative. But thank God, be not unfruitful means be fruitful. Follow through. Stay with it. Amen. And to hold on, okay? Go to 2 Peter 1 and 8. This is where Peter is admonishing to add to your faith. Now, I'm always thrilled to know that God has more. More and more and more that he wants to give you in abundance. That is awesome. And unfruitful is mentioned in this verse. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the things to add to your faith, the preceding verses say virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. Add those things to your faith. And Peter goes on and says, if they abound, praise God. And I'm thankful they can be in abundance, not just a smattering and a small amount, but they can be in abundance. Praise God. I wonder why he selected those things. Obviously, the Holy Ghost told him to write it. So I guess, why did the Holy Ghost say those things? How does virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity change your life and make you fruitful? Here again, a tree is known by its fruits. Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. He's wanting you to be known by these fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, of course, but these things as well. And there's some duplication of the fruit of the Spirit here, but we understand there's a productiveness that God is looking for. There's a fruitfulness that God is looking for. Not being barren, not being unfruitful, but recognizing how powerful what God wants to do in your life. And this is not done by our own abilities, our own willpower. Our willpower in saying yes to the Lord is important. But as far as it actually being produced, it's the Spirit of God. That's why that relationship is so strong. That's why the Lord said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God. They will be my people. I will be their Father. They will be my sons and daughters. Because he wants that relationship. Amen. And that's what brings about these aspects of fruit bearing. Now, John's preaching, John the Baptist, was real straightforward. My goodness, I read some of the things he said, and you wonder how in the world he had a crowd. How do they not get all run off? There, at one point, there are three groups of people that ask him, what should we do? And he very straightforward told them what they should do. You know, the soldiers, the publicans, and so on. What should we do? And they're real direct with their question of him, and John is equally direct in his reply. Then he sees these Pharisees and Sadducees coming and calls them vipers. And then his teaching gets real straightforward here in Matthew 3. Verse 8, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. The NIV says, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Amen. And John wasn't, I don't think he was just saying words just to say words. I think he was really looking for evidence. I think he really wanted to see a change. Not just a casual interest, not just, my friends are doing this, I guess I will too. And get in the water, the Jordan with John. No, it was more than that. Amen. The fruit of repentance. And Paul, in Acts 26 and 20, is basically saying the same thing. And it didn't matter if they were in Damascus or Jerusalem or the coasts of Judea or if they were Gentiles. In Acts 26 and 20, he says the same thing. Repent and do works meet for repentance. Regardless of location, regardless of nationality, Jew or Gentile, repent. Do works meet for repentance. The NIV, again, says it this way. Prove their repentance by their deeds. Prove their repentance. Amen. One of our pastors doesn't baptize until they quit smoking. One of our pastors doesn't baptize unless they move out of the house where they're shacking up with somebody. He's looking for fruit of repentance. Now, that might seem kind of harsh. It may seem kind of rough, but he just feels we can't play with repentance. You can't just say and then keep living in the garbage you're living in. Do works, do deeds, bring forth fruit of repentance, the evidence of repentance. Amen. And that's even after they've received the Holy Ghost. Quit smoking yet? No? Well, we'll hold off on baptism then. Okay. That's, I think in our society that excuses and justifies everything so much that a strong stance like that is important. And, prove that you're going to change. Okay, so now, these Jews, they love to point back to Abraham, don't they? We have Abraham to our father. You know, in John 8, they go off on a big, we have Abraham as our father. Abraham saw my day and rejoiced. The Lord told him, what? You're not even 50 years old. Before Abraham was, I am. And man, they didn't miss that. They made the connection immediately, and they took up stones to stone him. And instead of exalting him, instead of, you know, their jaws falling open and recognizing he's saying he's the Christ. He's saying he's the Messiah. Instead of celebrating that, they want to stone him. Well, they're always claiming Abraham. John said, don't think that you can, you know, look to Abraham as your father. God can raise up children of Abraham from these stones. There are plenty of stones around in that riverbank. And he gestured to him, these stones can become children of Abraham. God can raise them up. Stop your boasting. Stop your looking as though you have a heritage that is irrefutable. Now, you still got to repent. You still got to show that you have fruit meet for repentance. Okay, because he goes on now. He goes on and explains the problem of no fruit, the unfruitful. Matthew 3 and 10. Now also, he says, the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. You want to get rid of something, you take it out, root and trunk. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cut down, and cast into the fire. The absence of good fruit. Notice the distinction now. Good fruit. It's going to be cut down and cast into the fire. So see, that's why John is so strong here about fruit and works of repentance. Because if it doesn't happen, if it's not there, if it's not on the inside, there's going to be some drastic results. The consequences are going to be irreversible. And that's pretty scary. Lord help us. Thank God that's not the only fire that John was talking about, though. He goes on in verse 11 and makes an amazing prophecy. There cometh one after me who is mightier than I, whose shoe latches I'm not worthy to unloose. I can't even be a servant. I can't even bend down on my knees to unloose his shoelaces. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Praise God. I much prefer that fire. Praise God. Man, don't want to be cut down by the roots and thrown into the fire. Moreover, John goes on in verse 12, and he talks about unquenchable fire. So again, he gets very serious. He establishes a very strong recognition, a very strong case for why you need to bear fruit of repentance and why that needs to be ongoing and why there needs to be a recognition of the fire that the Lord is going to baptize you with. Praise God. I'm so thankful we're baptized in water in the name above every name. Praise God, the powerful name of Jesus that defeats devils, defeats sickness, defeats depression. Praise God, it's a powerful, victorious name. And we're baptized with the Spirit because God said, I want to dwell in them. Amen. Now contrast that with Exodus 25:8, build me a tabernacle, I want to dwell with them. Now he's saying, I'm going to dwell in you. Praise God, the Spirit of God that he baptizes us with. And thank God that that's what we're able to receive. Amen. So, if I'm going to avoid unquenchable fire, if I'm going to avoid being cast into the fire, I better make sure the fire of the Holy Ghost is there. Amen. And repentance is the way to keep it new, keep it strong, keep it real. Praise God. See, repentance is an attitude. I can remember, no doubt you can too. You can picture in your mind where you knelt if you were in church at an altar. I was there. I remember being on that side of the pulpit in the little church in Hoonah and leaving a pool of tears there because I was serious. Oh, God, forgive me. Oh, God, forgive me. Amen. And praise God. I got up from there feeling forgiven, feeling cleansed. Praise God. As the Lord does a tremendous work, and I'm thankful for that. Amen. And that was a strong, strong beginning. And I needed to come back to that again with an attitude of repentance, with a lifestyle of repentance. Amen. A sensitivity to the Spirit of God and a recognition of how I needed to live and walk with Him, because that's the only way fruitfulness can take place. Otherwise, the soil is going to be stony, it's going to be by the wayside, it's going to be thorny, it's going to be far from good. So, I've got to make sure I'm following through on that, amen, and letting the word of the Lord bring the results. Praise God. You know, it's amazing, amazing how a seed can sprout in a crack in the pavement. You know, hardly any soil at all there that you can, you know, have to get down on your hands and knees and examine, is there soil there? How in the world is that little sprout of grass coming up or whatever it is? Dandelion, those nasty weeds. There they are. Coming up, a seed. A seed has that potential. The seed is the word, and thank God it has the potential. That's what you feed your soul with. That's what you share with somebody else. You keep sowing. Praise God. You keep sowing. The sower goes forth to sow. He that soweth in tears shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I love Psalm 126, verse 6, because the tears turns to rejoicing. The lack of fruit, the lack of harvest, turns to sheaves. Praise God, a bunch of them. Amen. And that's a harvest of souls that the Lord wants us to have. But that fire, that recognition of, I've got to, you know, of the fire out here, I don't think anybody's casual about it. I don't think anybody's just kind of shrugging their shoulders and say, my goodness, stinks. I hope the wind blows another way. I think, Sister Carolyn, your neighborhood is in a category of readiness, right? Emergency, evacuation, whatever that category is called. And I can remember a few years back when the Funny River fire was coming across the river and we had to get ready. And you start examining what's important. What documents am I going to take? How am I going to store some things that are important to me so that maybe they'll survive the fire? You know, and different aspects like that. There's a seriousness about it. There's an awareness that's heightened. And it's not just a, oh, well, we'll see what happens. No, the fire of the Holy Ghost needs to make us strong in that awareness. Praise God. And be able to fight fire with fire if we can put it that way, the fire of the Holy Ghost against hellfire, and bring people to salvation and understanding the will of the Lord. But me, you, that's where it's got to start. You know, sometimes we want to jump to the revival fires and woo, you know, the miracles and the healings and so on. And we're just along for the ride. There isn't anything going on in us except for some tears and some excitement. No, that repentance again, that aspect that's so important. Stand with me, please. Unfruitful. Something to avoid. Something to recognize in terms of no fellowship in that realm. Stay completely away from it. Amen. Because the harvest, there will be a harvest. The scripture says you're going to reap what you've sown. And so the harvest of souls is what the Lord is calling us for. And then certainly an awareness of the harvest that is going to happen in our lives. I want it to be the right thing. Amen. I want it to be the positive things, not the negative abundance that the devil delights in bringing forth. How he must rejoice in some of the things that are happening in the Christian world today, and the terrible stuff that's taking place. But to be aware of how the Lord wants to set us on fire, praise God, to do a work for his name. Can we come and pray here for a little bit before we head downstairs? Our time of fellowship, praise God, it's not fellowship then with the unfruitful works of darkness. It's fellowship with the saints of light. Praise God. The children of the Lord. And the apostles' doctrine and the breaking of bread. And prayer. Fellowship. Praise God. Thank the Lord that we're able to dwell in those aspects. Live in those aspects. And be blessed by his presence. Can we worship him together? Here now for a short while. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I praise your name. I praise your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.